Turn with me to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Father, I bow my knee to your name this day. And Father, as your Son said, that you are the vine and we are the branch. And without you, we can do nothing. And Lord, we cannot bear fruit in and of ourselves, but we must abide in that vine. And Lord, I'm asking for grace today and strength by your Spirit, that not by my might or my power, but by your Spirit. And Lord, I'm asking that your word go forth, it accomplish, it prosper in the thing you sent it to do. Father, we ask that we might be clean today through the word of God that you speak to us. I bow my knee and confess the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ over my spirit, my soul, my body, and my mind this day. I draw on the unction from the Holy One that knows all things, that is true and is no lie. I'm asking it to come forth and for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you this day. And Lord, I take authority over this situation here today and over every unclean spirit that's assigned against us today, over every unclean spirit that would be assigned against people's minds, their hearts. We put you under feet of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we take our position today, seated and raised in heavenly places with Christ far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. I give you the glory. We ask for the ministering angel. We ask for the Holy Spirit to do a work that needs to be done in our hearts and our lives. I thank you and we praise you for the blood of the Lord Jesus and for the one who was delivered for our offenses and was raised that we might be declared right today. We thank you. We praise you today. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 21. And then came Peter to Jesus, and he said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. You know, Peter thought he was pretty generous to offer to forgive seven times. You know, and Jesus said it's not seven times, but 70 times seven or 490 times or what Jesus is saying, to forgive until it becomes a habit. Continually, enduring, on and on. In verse 23, therefore, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. The Living Bible says $10 million. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. You know, if I happened to work for Andy, And I needed some money really bad. And Andy trusted me. But I needed some money really bad. And I began to embezzle money. And let's say that I even embezzled up to $10 million. And I was discovered one day. And in the day that Jesus was speaking of this, as the kingdom of God is likened unto this forgiveness, it's not you couldn't take bankruptcy. You had to pay with your life. And if you didn't have to pay, then your wife would be sold and your children would be taken. And all your possessions would be taken. And then lastly of all, you would be thrown into prison until you could pay all. And here is a man that owed $10 million. A man that could never possibly ever pay back what he owed. His wife, his possessions, his children were being confiscated, and he himself was going to be delivered to the tormentors and delivered over into prison until he pay all, which he would never be out of prison. He knew he could never be free, never, because he could never pay back $10 million. So he did what? The only thing he knew to do. He got on his knees and he began to beg. He begged this master that he owed this money for forgiveness. Please be patient with me. I will pay you all. He knew he couldn't do that. And the master knew he couldn't do that. But suddenly he heard in his ear something he couldn't believe. The master, with tears, looked upon him in compassion and says, I loose you from this debt. I forgive you all. Did you know this parable is likened unto the kingdom of God? And brothers and sisters, there's a debt that we owed. And it was a great debt that neither silver nor gold could ever redeem us. In fact, if we gained the whole world, it could never bring the redemption to pay for the debt that had separated us from a holy God. Be patient with us, God. We'll pay somehow, some way. We'll change. We'll start doing right. But we could never pay the debt. You know what? Our Father, through the person of the Lord Jesus, reached down in eyes of compassion to reconcile the world unto himself. He said, I forgive you freely. All. Freely. It's yours. Andy forgave me the debt. I don't know why he forgave me that debt. But there was another friend of mine that owed $25. And I grabbed him by the throat one day, right after this, and I shook him. I said, I want my money. I want my $25. He said, well, be patient with me. I'm going to be paid Friday, and I'll get my check, and I'll pay you the $25 Friday. I said, no, pay it right now. Let's read on and see what happened. Verse 26, and the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt.
Praise God. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which is a small amount of money. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, was angry, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him.
$25. Andy forgave me a great debt. You owe me $25 because Andy has forgiven me such a great debt. What's $25 to me? I release you. I release you. You're forgiven. It's sad, though, that this parable didn't end this way. That the man that was forgiven the $10 million refused to forgive his fellow brother for the $25. And you know what happened here? The original master, who was angry when he found out, and he revoked his forgiveness, and he threw him into prison till he should pay all. Now Jesus tells us the meaning of this parable in verse 35. And he says, and so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. That is, just as this man was delivered to the tormentors, you shall be delivered to the tormentors also. If ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I'm going to read something to you. I want to see if this sounds something similar to your church. Our church had a baffling problem. We preached the word. We believed the healing power of Jesus. We laid hands on the sick. But the results were quite disappointing. Although a few received their healing as a result of prayers, the majority found no freedom at all from their physical torment. Along with a concerned group of our church members, I sought the Lord with fasting and prayer for a number of months concerning this situation. Although we had expected Jesus to guide and counsel us through Scripture explicit on healing or effective prayer, He surprised us by going directly to the issue of forgiveness. His words, recorded at the end of the parable of Matthew 18, provided the major key to our dilemma. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. And so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. What are the tormentors to whom God will deliver us if we do not forgive our brother from our heart? They are nerves, migraine headaches, insomnia, heart attacks, ulcers. And nobody, no preacher, no faith healer, nobody can pray the prayer of faith for us to be healed if we do not forgive, because it's the Father that has delivered us to the tormentors. Jesus cannot break his word, which says that unforgiveness will result in our being delivered to the tormentors. I'd like to read just a couple of more pages. Satan has many ways of trying to camouflage hate. We must be continually alert to prevent being deceived by such a simple trick as switching labels. A woman from Germany came to our church. She had been to every full gospel preacher in town. She'd heard about me and thought perhaps I had a little more faith and power than anyone else. She began, "I've had 4 nervous breakdowns." "Let's turn to Matthew 18, I said. After I explained the parable of the unforgiving servant, she said in very broken English, "I don't have unforgiveness." She said the problem was her hard life. She had been through World War I, World War II. She even attributed it to her heredity. I told her, "Sister, I have prayed with probably 2,000 people all over the United States during the past 5 years, and it is unforgiveness." She insisted, "I don't have unforgiveness towards anybody." What was I to do? There was no use arguing. So I said, "Sister, I'll tell you what, you love the Lord, don't you?" She said, she did. I continued, "If you did happen to have unforgiveness, would you be willing to forgive?" "Why, of course," she replied. "Let's just leave it up to the Holy Spirit," I suggested. She agreed. I had her pray after me, "Father, in the name of Jesus, if there are any people that I have resentment or bitterness or hurt feelings or hate towards, drop their names into my mind and I will forgive them right now." I asked her if she got any names. She said, "No, just faces of people." I said, "What do you mean?" "I see in my mind the village in Germany where I lived, and the marketplace is crowded with all of my old acquaintances, and I hate every one of them." It took over 2 hours for this woman who didn't have any unforgiveness to name the names and forgive each one individually. As I was counseling with another lady, she told me, "I don't have resentment towards anyone." The Holy Spirit told me. She calls it hurt feelings. I asked her, "What about hurt feelings?" She said, "Hundreds of people have hurt me." The devil switched labels on her to get her out from under conviction. She forgave her father, her mother, her husband, children, right on down the line. And when she was through forgiving, the power of God went through her. She was instantly healed. God's Spirit is love, and love cannot flow. That is, God's Spirit cannot flow when we are filled with hate. Hate is like a dam. And God wants to pour out His Spirit on us and heal us and make us whole. But He can't if we've got the Spirit of God dammed up with bitterness, resentment, hate, wounds, hurts, hard feelings stored up through the years. The average person with whom I've prayed gets from 50 to 500 names. We've seen literally hundreds of persons stop taking tranquilizers after they had forgiven everybody. If someone tells me he's nervous, I turn to Matthew 18 and go through the principle of forgiveness with him. This man says, "When my wife and I began to pray for someone's deliverance, we'll start by addressing the particular tormentor. Loose her and let her go in Jesus' name. If it doesn't bring results, we exchange knowing glances and turn to Matthew 18. We know it is impossible to get a person really free who has hate in his heart. For hate is the doorkeeper to the strong man. After the person understands the message of forgiveness and specifically prays, putting into practical experience then we command the spirits of resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness to come out. And the other things do also. If you forgive everybody of everything from childhood to present, you will have nothing left but love in your heart. God spoke to me one day and said, "You will never have any greater love than this, forgiving someone who doesn't deserve to be forgiven. For that is what my son did for you on the cross." This is a secular book. It's on nutrition by a doctor. I picked it up one day. Something caught my eye. I'd like to read. It's got a list of many diseases. This is not Christian. This is medical, nutritional. This doctor describes what cancer is. He says cancer is a group of nests of cells that are half starved from lack of proper organic nourishment, that thrive on concentrated starches and meats. It's a group of cells that are grouping together, half-starved cells. But this is what caught my eye. "One of the contributing factors, in my opinion, in the development of cancer has been found to be prolonged resentments." When you get a medical man to begin to attribute disease, sickness, and infirmity to a spiritual problem, I believe that they're coming a long ways down the road. Third John says, "Brethren, above all things, I desire you prosper, and I desire you be in health, even as your soul prospers." Your healing and your prosperity begins within here. On the inward man, on the inside of a man's heart. I want to tell you what happened to me. And what happened to me is not any different than I've seen multitudes of people in the last few months as we have prayed for them and seen them delivered and freed. And so many times when we pray for sickness and we invite people up, we ask what it is that hurts them, what the problem is, whether it be arthritis or cancer or this or that. And we pray for symptoms. But many times people walk away in the same condition that they came up here because the real root of their problem had never been dealt with. We have dealt with symptoms, but we haven't dealt with root problems, the problems that caused the disease, the problems that brought the malfunctions in their body, just as this medical man is beginning to discover. I want to tell you what happened to me. I've been in the ministry several years. I began years ago with Brother Andrew. And one of the prophecies when Brother Andrew ordained me and laid hands on me that there would be, through much tribulation, I'd go through the enter into the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, I've gone through a lot of tribulations. And I've gone through a lot of hurts. But the thing of it is, I'm telling you here today because I know that you are no different than I am here this morning. A few years ago, we lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We had been there a few years. We were established pretty well in the ministry there. We had Bible studies throughout the city. We were busy every night ministering the Word of God. There was a friend of mine one day that called me on the phone. He said, "Brother Don, I really feel impressed to work with you in the ministry." I thought about it a few minutes. I said, "That's scriptural. Paul had Timothy, John Mark, and Barnabas, and Silas. God sent them out two by twos to do the work of the ministry." I says, "Yeah, come on. I'll open the doors for you. I'll let you teach in my Bible studies." At that time, we were meeting and teaching in a Mexican restaurant on Sunday afternoon. We had Bible studies all over the city. We had started another church over in Edgewood. This brother said, "And by the way, there's another brother that wants to come and join us." I said, "Fine. I'll do whatever I can to open the doors for you. Let you teach my Bible studies." So we began to teach the Word of God. I began to open the doors for these young brothers that were young in the ministry. Then one day, another brother entered my life. Had a tremendous music ministry. And I saw these other brothers, especially one of them, get jealous. He says, "You need to stay away from that man. Stay away from him." And I thought, "Stay away from him? Well, how come? 1 John 1:7 tells me that if I walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, I have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin." Hey, if I'm walking in the light, I should be able to fellowship with everyone, because fellowship is a result of walking in the light. I wouldn't break my relationship with this other brother. In fact, I embraced him, opened doors for him. He began to lead music in our meetings. And I saw something happen with one of the brothers. He became jealous. And he began to turn this other brother against me. And I went to the brothers and I tried to talk with them. I tried to reason with them. But things got worse. And it got worse and it got worse. My wife was pregnant. We were going to have twins. We had made a deal where we were sharing our offerings together that we received. That's the only way that I lived. It's the only way I was supported. We were sharing our offerings together. And one day, I never asked for an offering. Those that know me know that I don't ask for offerings. God meets my needs. But I asked one day at a service, I said, "I'd like to see these brothers go full-time in the ministry where they could really go out and really minister. And I'm just asking you if anyone feels led financially to help them to do it." And a lady came to me after that service, and she was a lady that had a lot of wealth. And she said, "I'm going to totally support these young brothers, these young men. I'm going to totally support them in the ministry for 1 year. Salaries, everything." I didn't have anything. I didn't have any salary. But they were totally supported. I opened the doors for them. They began to minister. I could tell this one brother something stirring in him that wasn't right. And one day, my wife was pregnant with twins, just about to have those babies. One Sunday, I didn't hear from the brothers. I didn't hear from them again, and I didn't hear from them again. And I realized that I had been left without any financial support. I realized that they had They asked me to be the president of a nonprofit religious organization. President, the Lord told me, don't do it. But they urged me, till I broke. And I said, I'd do it. A religious organization was split. I was left. My wife was left. The height of her pregnancy. Basically nothing to eat, no way to pay our bills. And I couldn't believe that these brothers, who I opened the doors and who were now actively ministering with full salary, could do what they did to me. I couldn't believe that. My best friends, I thought. And let me tell you what strife will do. Strife began to multiply. And well, where the talebearer goes forth, it's like putting wood upon a fire. It begins to burn. It begins to go ablaze. And with your mouth, you bless God and you curse men. James says, brethren, these things ought not so to be. Strife. Began to over-infiltrate my home. Infiltrate. And God would get me on my knees at 3 a.m. to pray and to look in His Word and to seek His face. And I was determined I was not going to be in strife. I was determined I was no, regardless of what has happened, I am not going to be in strife. And for months, this went on. For months, I spent hours on my knees before God in the wee hours of the morning. And let me tell you something. There's victory in Jesus. And there's victory over strife. And there's victory over bitterness. And I wasn't going to have it. And I tried to go to those brothers and I tried to restore myself to them. I tried to talk with them. I asked them to forgive me. I did everything possibly I knew to do it until to make that right, until I saw that it could not be made right. We had to walk away. Let me tell you what happened. On December 14th, 1981, my twin girls were born in my home, born at home. The first baby was just perfect and normal, 7-pound babies. Good for twins. I thought I was sleeping in a tent for a while. Beautiful little baby, 7-pound baby. We were happy, we rejoiced, and here comes number two. But when number two came out, I saw something was really bad. Something was wrong. Real wrong. And I looked at that little baby, and that little baby was blue. And that little baby was dead. And that little baby was born dead. It was a stillborn baby. And I got down on my knees. I began to weep. What strife will do. And then something happened inside here. And I felt some power. And I felt authority begin to rise. And I reached, and as I touched the dead child, I had the biggest satanic battle of my life. But something happened. God began to speak deep within my spirit, and I found words of authority and words of power coming from my spirit man. And it began to command life to come into that child, and death, go! And the baby breathed. And then she ceased to breathe. And again I reached and I said, death, go! I commanded life to come into that child. And that time life came from God back into the child. And the child began to breathe. And the child is alive today. Normal. Just as normal as the other one. And I began to think about it. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 26. It says, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. And now here's the scripture that came to me. Where is boasting then? Where is bragging and boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By what principle? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. You know what I saw? I was on my knees and I was weeping because I lost my child. And then some power from heaven came upon me and in me and around me. And suddenly, without premeditating it, without thinking about it, without trying to put step 1, 2, 3, 4 into operation, I had no plan. Suddenly something happened. Faith was there. Power was there. And you know what? After it was all over and life was restored to my child, I said, where did it come from? Where did that faith come from? Where did that power come from? Romans told me that there was, by the law of faith, that boasting was excluded. I had nothing to brag about. I wasn't a great faith man. I wasn't a superman. I wasn't anything. Faith came from somewhere and brought life to my child. And I wondered where it came from because I knew that there was no boasting. It was excluded. How? By works? No, but by the law of faith. It excluded and wiped out the boasting and the bragging. People began to come and ask me to speak in their churches. Come and hear a man that seen the dead raised. They say in the newspaper. He knows how to put faith into operation. But yet I knew all the time. God did something. And whatever he did, it caused me to understand there was no boasting. He did it. Where did it come from? And God showed me that he had me up wee hours of the morning on my knees before him in prayer and in the Word And I begin to pray, oh God, I just want to be conformed to the image of Jesus. I just want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be conformed to His image. You know, I believe in imputed righteousness, and we are the righteousness of God in Christ, but there was a longing in my heart. Something in my heart that Paul had prayed about in Ephesians chapter 3 when he said that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. I thought, Lord, I thought for years that that meant, you know, like we use that for salvation. Ask Jesus into your heart. But when I read the context, I saw that Paul was praying a prayer for the saints, that the saints might come to know certain things, the exceeding greatness of the power and their inheritance in the saints. And he said, and oh yes, that Christ, that you may allow Christ to dwell in your heart by faith. And I begin to cry out, oh God, I want you to dwell. I want you to conform me to the image of your Son. I want to be more like Him. And I begin to open my heart and I begin to enjoy a peace and a communion and the Lordship of Christ in such a real and dynamic way that the strife and the bitterness and the backbiting and all of these things, they couldn't touch me because I was surrounded in the presence of Almighty God. And I began to realize that when the life came, the power came from my spirit, and it came and it commanded life to come into the child, I began to realize this. That out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth spoke. Brothers and sisters, what you fill yourself with is what's going to come out of your mouth in the time of tragedy. You fill yourself with the TV and you fill yourself with the things of the world. And brothers and sisters, in the time of crisis, and you read it, the storms will come and the wind will blow, but those on the rock will stand. Out of the abundance of heart, Jesus came forth and brought life to my child. Any of you ever thrown a boomerang? Throw that thing and it goes way out there for a while and it comes back. Let me tell you. After it was all over, after the victory was won, after Jesus did it, I woke up one day only to see the boomerang return. And I began to say to myself, I can't believe that in the time of my crisis, those and my babies being born, that those brothers would leave me like that. I can't believe those brothers would do what they did. I can't believe that. And I began to pick it up. Oh, God gave me a tremendous time through the strife, and He gave me the miracle. But after it was all over, I picked it up. And I began to be filled with bitterness, hurt, and resentment, and unforgiveness. And I began to say, oh, I said outwardly, I forgive. I forgave, but I wouldn't let it down. I couldn't set it down. And I tell you, bitterness will do something. It'll drive you. And you know what I did? I ran. Someone had offered me a church out there, and I don't really consider myself a pastor or anything like that. But I thought, it's an opportunity to use my teaching gift, and I want to get out of Albuquerque. So I left. And I got the biggest bunch of divided, full of strife and backbiting, charismatic folks. And they began to murmur, and they began to complain. See, he's kind of like Brother Andrew and Dick. Now he hangs off the chandeliers. See, I don't hang off the chandeliers normally. See. Well, some of them thought I should. And there I was. I'd get up in the morning, I'd look in the mirror, and I said, I can't believe those brothers in Albuquerque did what they did to me. All of this stuff happening to me here, and everybody murmuring, complaining. And finally, I went on that way for about a year, and I said, all right, I'm forgetting. It's over. I'm through with the ministry. I'm going to work. I decided I was going to make me a little barbecue restaurant, and I did. And I'm going to just serve barbecue. People of the world are nicer. And I did, and I resigned that church. And let me tell you what happened one day. I woke up one day, and I began to feel some pain coming in this hand right here. I said, I wonder what in the world is this pain in my hand? And then the pain went into this hand. And then it went into my feet, went into this feet and this. And then it went into my back. And then it went into my neck. And then it went into my kidneys. And there would be days that I could not even move my neck. And I finally went to a medical doctor. And he said, you've described a perfect description of rheumatoid arthritis. You know what Satan's will for my life is? The wheelchair. Brothers and sisters, you can't afford to pick something back up. And the doctor said, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see how these things progress. And let me tell you, it started progressing fast, very fast. And one day I was having a Bible study one night, and one of these brothers from Albuquerque knocked on my door. Oh, I had asked them to forgive me many times. He came into my home and he said, him and his wife, and we had some fellowship and some time together. They were going to spend the night with us. Before we turned and went to bed, he said, Don, I got to tell you. He said, I'm really sorry. He said, I'm sorry for what we did to you. He said, we were immature. We didn't know what we were doing. I said, well, I'll forgive you, brother. But you know, I've been hurt. And I had forgiven with my mouth. But inside, there was something there very deep. And one day, not too long ago, really. Now, don't tell me you can't preach God's word and tell people what to do and pray for sick and everything else, and still you're tore up. And be a pastor of a church. I went to a prayer seminar, and this friend of ours was teaching about strife, about enemies. And see, one of the definitions for an enemy is to look upon somebody and you just hope they fail. And down deep, I kind of hoped that my brothers would fail. Boy, the Holy Ghost hit me between the eyes. And we were to pray that next day, that next morning, for an hour as a corporate body. And I began to go way in the back, and I wanted to pray. And when I did, Jesus visited me. And I began to weep. And he said, Don, I want to show you something. And he took my spirit outside of my body. Now, I'm saying this in a vision form. And he says, I want you to look at your spirit. And when I say spirit, I'm using this word as Proverbs uses it. The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? And he said, I want you to see it. And Jesus showed it to me. And in my spirit, I saw these wounds. They were deep. And they reached into about three different areas of my spirit. But thank God, Jesus didn't just show it to me. And he came and he healed them. See, the Spirit of God, of the Lord, is upon me, Jesus said. He's come to set the captives free and to heal the brokenhearted. He heals broken hearts and wounded spirits. And I want to tell you that health came forth speedily in my body. A few months ago, I was pastoring. I'm pastoring a church in Dalhart, Texas right now. One of the ladies in the congregation came to me and says, Brother Don, I know things before they happen. Do you think that? What do you think? That's a Holy Ghost? I said, she said, I've died. I've known I could do this before when I was a kid, before I was saved. I knew things before they happened. So what do you think it is? I said, it's a spirit of divination. Same spirit that followed Paul around in Acts the 16th chapter. It says, these men show us a way of salvation. It could tell fortunes. It could tell the future. Paul, after many days of being grieved, turned to it and said, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out. The lady lost her ability to tell fortunes. And Paul and Silas was thrown into prison in Philippi and sang praises to God at midnight. I said, it's a spirit of divination. I could tell she didn't like that answer. I said, go home and pray about it and ask the Lord to show you yourself. If you're not convinced, I can't convince you. She went home and she prayed and she came back and she said, Brother Donna, I think it's just the Lord. It's okay. And it'll be all right. And I said, fine. Whatever you say, fine. And then a few weeks ago, the astronauts were on TV. And the woman school teacher was on the TV. And this thing spoke to this lady and said, she's going to die. She's going to die. She's going to die. And then we know what happened. A couple of days after that, it went into the sky and those seven people perished or lost their lives. It shook this lady up a little bit. She came back to me one night. It was after church. It was on a Thursday night. And after everybody had left, I said, well, what do you think now? She says, I'm ready for a prayer. Well, I tell you, I was tired that night. My wife was with me. We were tired. It was one of those kind of hard services. It'd been one of those. I was tired. I didn't really have the strength to be praying deliverance right at the moment, but I said, all right, it's my wife and I and this lady, and we sat down and we began to pray. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to strengthen me, and we're going to need some strength here. We need some discernment and strength. And so after we prayed, I just grabbed her by the hand. I said, you unclean spirit of divination, in the name of Jesus Christ, command you to come out of her. You know, there wasn't anything happening for a minute or two. So I just kept looking to the Lord, Now that's, you got to look to the Lord. My wife was praying, and my wife received a word of knowledge from the Lord. And she said, I get something about her mother. And I said to the lady, I said, all right, will you forgive your mother? All of a sudden, this voice come out of this lady. Said, no! No! She gave me away! I said, I bind you, you unclean spirit. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the girl. Will you forgive your mother? Let me tell you. She forgave her mother. She had the choice to choose. She had the choice to go away from their bound or to go away free. A couple of weeks ago, we was praying for another lady. I said, will you forgive your mother? You've got to forgive your mother. Regardless of what she's done. You've got to forgive that man that's molested you. You've got to forgive whoever it might be, those ones that hurt you. You see, you forgive those that don't deserve to be forgiven. She said, you've got to say it. The Lord gave me a word of knowledge and said, the Lord said, you said with your mouth, I hate my mother. And now you have to say with your mouth and break that contract with Satan, I forgive my mother. Praise God. And we saw some strong manifestations of deliverance and demons come out of her. But we worked with her an hour till we got to the root. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the root of unforgiveness. Jesus said, it'll deliver you to the tormentors. And Dick ain't going to get you healed. And Andy and Dave or me or nobody in the world is going to get you healed. If you haven't dealt with the root. But when you deal with the root, when you choose, you have the power to choose. You have the will to choose. It's a decision. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a decision. I forgive. I release. Whoever it might be. And brothers and sisters, I tell you, it began to shake me up when I seen devils come out of people. When I see it, full gospel, charismatic. people delivered from evil spirits. Because they're full of hate and bitterness and resentment. Oh, no, they can go and get blessed and shout and dance. Hey, and Satan laughs all the time. It's Romans 6:16, whomsoever you yield yourself to is slave you become. You know, I got to thinking about it. I said, Lord, I'm free. I'm pretty free. I know I'm free. And you know what the Lord said to me? The Lord said to me, driving home from that service that night after that girl got delivered. I said, Lord, but I'm free. And he said, why? He said this. He said, why do you say your mother is the greatest mother in the world, but... And then I start saying all these things about what my mother's done to me that's hurt me. Huh? Why do you say your mother's the greatest mother in the world, and then you say, but, and then you add all of these things that your mother's done to you in the past? He says, Don, that is an area of unforgiveness. And brothers and sisters, yeah, brother so-and-so, but he did this and this and this and this and this to me. Now, come on now, folks. And sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and this preacher and that preacher, yeah, but. And then start describing all of those things. Hey, it's an area of death. It's an area of unforgiveness. It's an area that will destroy. Let me tell you, you can lay it down here this morning. You can lay it down here this morning. There's going to be some of you here this morning that's not going to receive the healing or whatever it is that you need until you do what I'm talking about this morning. Let me tell you. And it's not for you to dig up trash. I'm not asking you to dig up trash. I'm just asking you to let the Spirit of God put His finger on anything there. Praise the Lord. There may be real wounds inside here. Jesus is the healer. The devil can't make you do anything, and God won't make you do anything. The choice is yours. Did you know that? The choice is yours this morning. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord.